The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia. This is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis coming to you from the Stone Church Studio. In the studio with me today, Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, Avon Coburn. Gentlemen, welcome back. It is football season. I'm fired up for football.
Football is the greatest season there is. There's summer, winter, fall, spring, and football.
That's the best. I can't wait. I'm ready. It's game week. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Everybody knows me, knows I'm excited.
Yeah, pumped up, ready to go. College football got started yesterday, and then I'm going to Penn State to cover the game this weekend, so we're diving in the deep end of the pool. I'm ready.
Before we get into some of our topics, I want to say thanks to Dan Fowler and his staff at LM Communications for including us for their Mountaineers on Main Street event yesterday. It looked like there was probably 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 people there. Big event. We appreciate them including us in that. So thanks to him and his staff. Let's talk about West Virginia. You know, and there's something interesting happened this week. First, I want to ask you guys this. Is West Virginia really the last team in the Big 12?
I don't believe they are. I don't believe it is. I mean, especially with new teams coming in that have teams that aren't as good. I don't believe that we are.
If they finish last, it's the worst team I've ever seen WVU have. There is no way that they should finish below Cincinnati, Houston, or BYU. Those three teams were bad last year. If you're going on returning production, that's fine. But BYU probably doesn't return as much as WVU. Cincinnati's got a new coach that Louisville didn't even want. I mean, that's just – no, there's no way they're going to finish last. No way.
It's not last place. It's not pull the program terrible. It's a middle-of-the-road team because you have playmakers on both sides. I really like Lee Koba's game. I really like C.J. Donaldson. There's too many pieces to be a last-place squad.
Yeah, when you start to break it down, and, you know, for us, we always talk about Avon and I. We love – and Derek, you too. It comes down to the running game. And West Virginia is going to be, should be able to run the football effectively. You got three all Big 12 guys up front, probably the best running back room in the Big 12.
For sure.
And now you've got a quarterback that's not a statue, who's going to be able to do some RPOs, maybe even do some bootleg stuff for you that creates more options. So I'm not sold that West Virginia is bottom of the barrel in the league. Are they going to jump up and win this thing? Probably not. But I'm not sold that they're bottom of the barrel.
I definitely don't think that. I mean, like you said, a running game, if we implement, you know, and we got a new offensive coordinator who is actually the running back coach, who's probably a ghost offensive coordinator, if we want to, you know, be real about it. But at the same time, you know, if he has any input, his room should be, you know, focaled.
Houston kept coming in here. Houston. I'm just going to use Houston as an example. They played Texas Tech. Lost in overtime last year. That's not a bad loss. Kansas went to Houston and just destroyed them. They beat them like 48-30 last year.
Because my man Jalen Daniels.
And no, that's fine. But, like, they give up gigantic numbers. We all know that's Dana. West Virginia should be able to run for 1,000 yards on them and put 60 on the board. They gave up 77 points to SMU last year. 77.
That's crazy. Here's something that's interesting, and this is what I was trying to get to. It's amazing the effect that the media has on people's perspectives of programs and teams and people. So this week, Pat McAfee, our guy, comes out and he's like, Mountaineers are going to beat Penn State. And he's predicting all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, Kirk Herbstreit, the dark horse team in the Big 12 is West Virginia. It's funny the effects that people like McAfee has. If he doesn't say that, does the perspective change on West Virginia?
Yeah, remember Herb Street, Clemson will crush West Virginia. Yeah. What if Pat predicted that one?
Yeah, they don't pay attention.
They don't know. They don't know any more than any – nobody knows. We all know. We're all fans. We all watch. It's just a matter of opinion. You don't know what's going to happen in these games. They're kids.
And the influence on media is huge because – I mean, you think about in political, if one person is, you're hearing their voice and they have the loudest voice, it's going to sway some people whatever direction. And we have a loud voice, you know, with Pat. So that's a great cause for us.
Well, it means a lot too, because like in the preseason polls, and this is kind of, it's not the same, but it's related. Like you get these preseason polls. Well, West Virginia's out of it. Well, what if West Virginia wins 8 straight to start the season? And they're winning them all 56-0, but like Georgia's number one, they're the 2-time defending champion, and they win 8 in a row, 13-12. Well, if West Virginia would have started at number, say, 3, mm-hmm. they would probably be ranked number 1, but since they started out of the poll, they're going to be ranked number 2, while Georgia's still ranked number 1. But it just matters, like the opinion of everybody, of the media, because Good the point. Media sways everything.
Absolutely.
Especially now with, you know, you've got the Disney company pulling the strings on the TV contracts. And now, you know, it's almost, they're almost, you know, in bed with each other, just playing, you know, playing Svengali and Puppet Master with who they want to be in there, the biggest names, the biggest brands. And they're just out there tooting the horns of the Notre Dames and the Ohio States. But now, you know, it's important that Pat McAfee's out there tooting West Virginia's horn.
It helps. It seriously helps.
And, I mean, not just West Virginia, but every underdog, because, you know, that's where Pat comes from. So he's going to give us – he's going to – not just us. He's going to give those teams that don't – hopefully he does. I mean, again, the media sways media too. So he's – hopefully he doesn't, you know, get sucked in by that and keeps his voice and voices it the way that we all would love people to, you know, talk about the teams that aren't – getting talked about a lot. So that is hopefully he can keep his voice and continue to say the things that he feels is right.
You know, it's funny, and back to the media thing, and then we're going to take a break, but even like a guy like Jalen Daniels at Kansas, I've watched this kid play. I love him. To me, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12, but because he's at Kansas, he's not getting any love. Nobody really wants to talk about him. But listen, we're going to take a break. I want to remind you guys later in the show, Tommy Orr, the captain, one of the captains of the 1993 undefeated team, he's going to be joining me. He tells some stories about some – I'd interviewed him earlier, but he talked about the 92 Syracuse game and the return trip to the Dome. So you'll hear that later in the show, but we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk West Virginia defense right here on the Touchdown City Show.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Green 18! Green 18!
The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football, and remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Herndon. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the studio with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, Avon Coburn. And Before we took the break, we mentioned WVU defense. So let's talk about it. The Stills brothers are gone. So we're not going to get any more posters with the defensive guys on there for a while. But now this thing falls on Jordan Leslie in my book. Are we getting $650,000, $700,000 of production out of this guy on the defensive end as a coordinator?
Man, you already know how I feel about Jordan Leslie. He is absolute garbage bag. Garbage bag, bottom of the garbage bag. Like we should have
the
bottom of the garbage bag with all the juices in there that have. I mean, as a person, I know he's a good man. As a football coach, I mean, he's not a leader. Like when you start pointing fingers at kids, I mean, Jordan Leslie should have been gone. I don't want to talk defense. This whole segment, I'm just upset that he's still there.
He's boycotted.
Yeah, they're not getting their money's worth out of him, but he better figure it out fast. The whole staff better figure it out fast, but he better figure it out really fast because
I'm coming back in. So, how could he figure it out fast, guys? When he didn't make the adjustments when he was supposed to make them.
If he can't
figure it out, if he didn't figure it out, then I mean, it's a lost cause.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that. I mean, they've got him, so he better figure it out fast or whatever. I mean, you could fire him or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I mean, I'm just saying it's one of those things that they're not getting their money's worth from him, and the talent up there, like, sure, they have some nice players, but the defensive line just doesn't – I mean, it just doesn't measure up right now. We don't have – the defensive line's a major concern, and that's your biggest – that's your most important position group on the team.
Yeah, we've been a little spoiled with Dante and Darius for the last few years, and now – we don't have like a name brand defensive lineman down there, and I know they got some transfers and some guys that they supposedly like,
right.
But I like to feel a little bit more secure up front.
Yeah, they're high on the international recruit Vesterinian on the inside of that D line. Lee Koba's so athletic and long. We need him to be a first team all conference kind of player, and at cornerback, particularly Malachi Ruffin has got to take another step.
Yeah, there's got to be some guys step up because I mean. You're not going to have that defensive line that they've had the presence of the Steels, and there was Jefferson, I believe was his name. He transferred out.
Jordan Jefferson.
Those guys are major losses, and I mean, it's not looking good on defense. It's a major, major concern other than a few spots. Like, Cope is good. Burns is going to be a good player. And then he just spoke about Griffin. The secondary might be pretty good. They seem to have more talent than any other position group on the defense.
Speaking of Dante Steele, shout out to him. Got a sack in the game last night in his preseason game. Looks good for him as of now.
Yeah.
Like he may make that team. But if he doesn't, maybe we can put in a waiver request to get him back to play at West Virginia.
Gonna need more than him.
That's all we probably need. It'd be
good.
What do you think has to improve for this defense to keep us? Because obviously they're the thorn in the side. What has to improve for this West Virginia defense to keep us in some ball games this year?
Discipline in the secondary. I always go back to the Baylor game when we just got gashed over the middle. And like you talked about in the podcast segment, you're playing 7 yards off the ball every single play. And you're not going to jump on routes, but you still get beat over the top. It can't feel like we're playing down a man all game.
I feel like we need to get into what they call the cat defense. Like, that cat right there I got. We need players to be able to do that and on secondary, and I'm talking secondary. I think that was a weak link for us last year. I think we're porous everywhere, but I think our defense would really be great if we can get our DBs to give that D line and front seven some time to really get in there and put pressure on the quarterback and stop the run.
I think it falls on the coaching staff because we just spoke about him. He's got to get some continuity in there. These guys need to know what they're doing. Half the time it looks like they're just running around with no idea where they're supposed to be, where they're going, or what they're supposed to do. So they need to know where to be. Like, he can't make the plays for them, but he can get them in the right positions to make these plays. And, like, if you watch, like Michael's saying, well, you're getting gashed over the middle for 75 yards and you're playing 10 yards off the line of scrimmage.
I still don't think this defense has recovered from the transfer portal. And I go... Listen, it's a part of the game now, so if you lose, you need to gain.
Right.
And that's a part of being the coach, and that's what you're getting paid $700,000 for and $4 million on the Neil Brown side. But honestly, I don't think they've ever recovered from that. I mean, they've rolled the dice on some FBS guys that were All-Americans at that level. Some have panned out. Some have not. You know, you got an Alonzo Adai, for instance, who's playing professionally. You know, so but you can't continue to build your defensive backfield on rolling the dice.
Yep.
I mean, you've got to go out and get some dudes. Like, you know, if they go to prison for a year, get them out. If they were All-American at Georgia, let's put him on our team. I don't care. But let's get somebody out there.
I've given up on coaching. Like, when you say coaching, it's one of those things you have to have a meeting as a players and say, hey, look, we got to do this. And I've had those meetings where I'm like, man, we keep calling the same plays. It doesn't matter, guys. The coaching is they going to give us a plan, but we have to do it. And I just don't feel like our coaching staff, I think it's going to be on the players to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like they have no idea what they're doing out there. There's no – even if in a zone, like, you know, you're supposed to just cover an area of the field. Even in a zone defense, it feels like they give up 35 yards because no one covers an area of the field. It's like the safety goes long and the corner runs with the receiver, and then there's a guy underneath that no one picks up that gets 35 yards. It's just no, they don't have a clue of what they're doing out there.
Is there anybody defensively you're excited to see?
Like I said, definitely Koba. I'd like to see... definitely the defensive line. That's going to be. Can they do it by committee? You don't have those three guys. Do we have 9 or 10 guys that can fly around? But my big one is can Koba be dominant?
They said their D line would rotate a lot, so I'm excited. I mean, it's a young guy. I played with Mike. I cannot forget his name. I forget his name. Corey McIntyre.
Oh yeah, and I'm excited to see the Jalen Thornton's development.
Yep.
So we'll see. All right, I'm going to remind you guys later in the show, write this phone number down, 304-9696-TDC. We're going to be doing the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. And after this, we'll have the Locker Room Report from Michael Sussman.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salengo. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salengo Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salengolaw.com.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
It's game week for the West Virginia Mountaineers as Coach Neil Brown tries to prep the squad for Saturday's opener in Happy Valley. Through fall camp and the preseason scrimmage, a few defensive performers have turned some heads, as Coach Neil Brown talked about on Monday.
So Lance Dixon, he had a sack, had two TFLs. He's a guy that we need to take a step. You know, he's got a ton of potential, and it's time for that to come through. Hershey McLaurin had his best day of fall camp. He had 7 tackles, had an interception. He would have ran back for a touchdown. And then I thought at corner, Beanie Bishop and Malachi had really nice days.
And WVU safeties coach Dante Wright echoed a very similar sentiment when talking about a Mountaineer secondary that needs to improve in 2023.
But we got more tools. We got guys that can be physical. We got guys that can play coverage. We got guys that understand the game at a really high level. We're faster than we've ever been. So I see a lot of ability if you look at the whole group as a whole. And each one of them are unique in their abilities. Each one of them are different, and that's exciting. But they can all do what we ask them to do.
Bell cow back C.J. Donaldson, as well as freshman tailback Jaheim White, are looking sharp for the opener.
C.J. got some live carries, and I think he's in a good spot. Jaheim White continued to have a good camp. Full throttle on Sunday with Penn State.
In case you were wondering, the Mountaineers have had a competitive battle at the all-important starting kicker position as well.
Danny King and Michael Hayes both are really good. Got a real battle there for our kickoff job, and both are more than capable in field goals too. Mike's probably a little ahead, but both of them are really, really capable, so I feel good about that.
There's a familiar face returning to the Mountaineer sideline as Blaine Stewart, son of beloved Mountaineer head coach Bill Stewart, is now coaching the tight ends. Here is Coach Blaine Stewart on having game days back in Morgantown.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I haven't been to a game here. Actually, I came to the JMU game in 2019 because I obviously went to James Madison and was with the Steelers. We had the weekend off, so I came down with some buddies and saw a lot of people like Monty and a lot of people, familiar faces and stuff. But I haven't been to a game before that since 2010. So it's been a long time since I've been in Mountaineer Field when it's rocking. So I'm excited about that. You know, all the home games are going to be special in their own way. But, yeah, September 9th is going to be fun when we finally get to do it in front of these home fans.
Blaine Stewart will bring an NFL acumen to the WVU coaching staff after serving under Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin for the last three seasons.
And I just believe, like, whether it's the tight ends in San Francisco or an offensive scheme that the Eagles are running or something like that, you know, I'm a firm believer in numerous ways to show certain things. So I love watching NFL film. I think it has a place for these young guys to just see, you know, we're trying to do things the right way. And when NFL teams are doing it the same way, I think that adds value. But, yeah, I just try to, you know, let them know I've been a part of some unique things that it's been great for my personal development. And then really when guys have questions, you know, that's when I want to answer their questions as opposed to put it in front of them.
That's WVU tight ends coach Blaine Stewart. Now to some scores from week zero of college football. We'll start across the pond with the 13th-ranked Notre Dame Irish, who trounced Navy 42-3 in Dublin. Irish QB Sam Hartman went 19 of 23 and threw four touchdown passes. Number 6 USC and Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams won 56-28 over San Jose State. Williams was efficient as usual, completing 18 of 25 passes to go along with four TDs and no picks. Williams postgame.
You know, I spoke to a bunch of leaders in game. You know, right after coach took me out, and the message was, we got a special team. But the second part of the message was, we got a long and a lot to get better at.
Former WVU head coach Rich Rodriguez and his Jacksonville State Gamecocks made history yesterday, knocking off UTEP 17-14 in the school's first ever FBS game. Here was Rich Rod following a historic W.
Very excited for our guys for the win. The guys played hard the whole time. Our defense was fabulous with their intensity and helping us out with some energy at the end. So it was a great win. That's a good football team. I think they'll make a bowl game. It's a great night for Jack State, and I'm going to go enjoy a nice cold one at the Rodriguez Hard Edge Bar and Grill right at my house as soon as I leave you guys.
Senior Jeremiah Harris was the hero for the Gamecocks late, coming away with a game-winning interception with a minute 15 left.
Yeah, isn't that a terrific way to end it? And I told the team, I said, 10 years ago, J-Row walked on here. You know, it was really 7 years ago, but, you know, I digress. You know, he walked on 7 years ago, and here he is coming back in his final college year and making the play of the game. And everybody in our they lifted him up in the locker room.
That's Rich Rodriguez.
Tired of sorting through those piles of paper statements? Summit Community Bank has the solution. With our easy-to-use 24/7 online banking, you can access e-statements anytime, anywhere. Say goodbye to cluttered mailboxes and hello to a more organized and secure banking experience. And the best part? It's completely free. So switch today by visiting mysummit.bank. Summit Community Bank, proud to provide you with service beyond expectations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have three locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barbersville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio. And today, as promised, and as we have been doing every week, we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the West Virginia undefeated team of 1993. And I'm happy to introduce a WVU great and key member of the '93 defense. If everyone would welcome Mr. Tommy Orr to the show. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Great introduction. I don't know about a W great, but I'm definitely a proud Mountaineer alumni.
Well, listen, and I'm going to get into it, and you're a W great. When I went back and have been studying the season and what you guys on that defense and your play throughout your career, you're right there in the W great category. So anybody that pays attention will put you in that category.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Well, let me ask you, is it hard to believe that it's been 30 years since that magical season?
My goodness, you know, it really has, because time just keeps on ticking, as the song says. But, you know, I received an email the other day talking, you know, they want to honor us at the Texas Tech game next month. So make some reservations to get in time. But it really made me sit with it after that. And I was like, wow, it's been 30 years. And, you know, spoke to my wife and talked to my wife about it. I'm going to go up and everything like that. It just doesn't seem like it was that long. It just seemed like I was that 21-year-old kid just a few days ago.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I was kind of looking forward to, you know, what are we going to do this season? And I thought, man, 30 years. And then it kind of hit me, too. I was coming out of high school that year, and I thought, oh, yeah, it's been 30 years. It's hard to believe. But you know what's crazy is people, you know how Mountaineer fans are. They have not forgot about you guys.
Long memories. I live, as you know, I live in New Jersey, born and raised, and I still, when I wear my Mountaineer gear, people will notice me or notice my wife with some W gear on something, and I start asking questions about, you know, who, you know me, and so she starts giving the history, you know, and I'm still surprised and in awe that people know, you know, my name, this kid from, you know, Elizabeth, New Jersey, who just made a, you know, wanted to make a difference in his life and try something new, and which brought me to West Virginia. So I'm still in awe of that, and I'm still honored.
Not only did you make a difference in your life, but you created some great memories for the people here in the great state of West Virginia. So I think they're forever in debt to you guys for doing that. So let's
what's awesome though is they've given me just personally way more than I was able to give them on the football field. Even though you put it out there every Saturday, every week, the state alone has just given me so much, just my personal life, just as a person and becoming a man during that time. I'm just honored to be a part of it.
And for the radio listeners, we're going to have a long conversation with Tommy today. So if you're listening, make sure you are subscribed to the Touchdown City podcast and so you can hear the complete interview. But for the radio listeners, you're going to hear a bit of an abbreviated version, but I want to make sure this one hits the airwaves. I want to talk about the 93 season, but I want to go back 1 year to Syracuse, 1992 in Morgantown. Obviously a game that, you know, unfortunate events, things at the end of the game, just in the Marvin Graves incident kind of cost you guys that game, in my opinion, just with some poor officiating. What do you remember about that? I'm sure that's probably one of the top few things that pops up in your memory bank when you just flash back to your football days.
Definitely. You know, what's awesome about that question is that during the pandemic, my family and I, you know, everyone's trapped in the house. We're looking through old YouTube videos. And for the first time, I really broke it down and watched the video. And I was wrong. I'm going to tell you right here, right now, dude, that was just out of bounds when I hit him. And I did not realize that literally until a few years ago on YouTube. So, but it was such a reaction and such a spurred moment thing that, you know, it was bam, bam. Until I slowed it down, that's the only time I really realized it, that, okay, I have to admit I was wrong in that interaction. But led up to it, you know, W and Syracuse, it was always a hard-fought game. You know they was going to run the ball. You know what I mean? They was going to try to attack you with their wing-T offense and some misdirection, anything like that. So it was an aggressive game. And I seen opportunity. I mean, I felt a little disrespected that the quarterback's gonna try to run on my side. So I let them know I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you seen, you know, and anyone who's seen the videos, you know, I didn't. There was no trash talking. I just got up and was walking back towards the huddle. Then next thing you know, I heard a little doink, and you know, I didn't realize he threw the football, hit me in the head. So things got real crazy. You know, once I turned around. And a coach, when the coaches or assistant, someone grabbed my jersey. And being a kid from New Jersey, he got hit with a two-piece. And, you know, then that's when the brawl happened and my teammates came out back. And so the hilarious thing about this is, so my kids pointing out, my daughters are like, well, everyone is, you know, they're scrapping. Somehow they're like, you know, throwing me out the way like I'm the little brother. Move, T.O., I got it. Move, T.O., I got it. I got this. I got this. And next, you know, I'm out, you know, by the middle of Mountaineer Field, and everyone's, you know, brawling and fighting. So, you know, it's weird that, you know, I know how it started. I'm here to admit that, you know, I was wrong in that interaction, you know, and I was not thrown out the game. Unfortunately, too many of our own key players on our defense was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, regardless of the fact that, you know, we're all there on scholarship for the most part, and we all have to play our role. And, you know, towards the end of the game, we just couldn't make that happen. And, you know, they threw a touchdown to the tight end, and that ended up costing us the game.
Yeah. Well, let's fast forward to the Dome, 1993. Obviously, what was, you know, obviously as a player, you can't get hung up on little things, but I'm sure to make it the main thing, but that game had to have been hyper-focused for you guys, just being that you guys were undefeated and it's time for some payback from the year before. Walk me through the getting into Syracuse and what was the attitude in practice that week?
Coach Nealon was, a lack of a better phrase, hyped. He was excited. He was hyped that week. We were intense that week. There was a lot of hitting going on that week, you know, trash talking to each other. So we knew we was going to go into the game. And, you know, honestly, we really was looking for some payback. And Coach Nealon wanted it too, because we felt like we got robbed on that. They didn't throw any. They threw like some third string guy out, you know, on their team when, honestly, the quarterback should have been thrown out and the coach should have been ejected and et cetera, et cetera. So when we got there, you know, with all of this hype and adrenaline, I had the most boring game. They didn't come my way at all. I was literally bored to death. We just smacked them. I mean, you know, I mean, it wasn't even a game. But I was so bored, you know what I mean? And they literally made it a point to not come my way. I don't know, the coach there was just trying to isolate me or just not cause another ruckus or anything like that. But it was a boring game to me. But, you know, it was a win. You know, so I love that aspect. I just didn't get a chance to really, you know, get my other hits off like I would like to, though.
Well, you know, how did it feel for you? Let's get into the game. How did it feel? Obviously, you guys rolled that day 43-0. And yeah. And just to point something out, in 1993 terms, 43-0 is like 84-0 today.
Right.
You know, what you were saying, they didn't come at you guys, but you guys had to have been feeling good just laying it to them in the Dome.
Definitely. And Coach Nealon is a gentleman. So he would, you know, once the times that we did get up on people, he would slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to score. He wanted to make sure he respected the other coaching staff, because there's been times when scores been ran up on us. So he's always been that gentleman. And so he was teaching us and showing us through his actions and his interactions and words, that's not how he played the game. But that game, he let it all hang out, which was a surprise to us. You know, I mean, we thought he's going about to start to pull the reins back a little bit, but he didn't. He let us go all out, and we continue to score as much as we possibly can. And we probably missed a few opportunities.
Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about the defense. When people talk about the 93 team, they always, you know, they talk Jay Kelchner, they talk Ed Hill, they talk Robert Walker. But man, as I've been watching the film, this defense is probably one of the most underrated defenses in WVU history. And honestly, I think this defense led the way over the offense when I go back and look at it.
I had an awesome offense, but I'm going to tell you what, we instituted a new defense that spring. and it really made the difference. And to be all honesty, you know me, I have to give our props to our position coach at the time, Kevin Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Kevin Ramsey was the one that instituted us going man-to-man, bump and run. We started running that 85 Bears defense from under Coach Kalavage, and it just changed everything. And we knew we had something that spring, you know what I mean, when our offense was having trouble getting off our bump and run. We've never ran anything like that. We were predominantly a zone team for most part of the past three years. Cover two, cover three was our main thing. But to go man-to-man, bump and run, I would say 60% of the time, and when we were blitzing like crazy, it just changed the whole aspect of the game for us. Teams couldn't nickel and dime us anymore. And receivers, you know what I mean, our linebacks was tough enough that even though we were out wide playing man-to-man, linebacker was filling the gaps like you wouldn't believe. So it changed the defense, but honestly, Kevin Ramsey changed my life. He's the only man that made me wish I had another year with him. And I'm sure Mike and Deez, them would tell you the same thing, that he's probably helped change their lives and their careers too. I mean, he was a godsend, you know what I mean? And he treated us like we were his little brothers. Not that, you know what I mean? He was a married man, four daughters, but he helped make us a team. We were at his house all summer. His wife was cooking out for us. He just was making us bond, mm-hmm. constantly bond. And he talked to you like he was your big brother. It wasn't no coaching. He was talking to you like he was your big brother. He brought out a sort of toughness that, you know, was there, but, you know, he really, like, gave us the okay, like let it out. You know what I mean? You feel like roaring and knock his head off. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was an intense year, and it showed on the field, and I'm just so excited to be a part of it. I'm so excited that I had that 1 year tutelage underneath them.
For the radio listeners, we're going to take a break, but for the rest of you, that make sure you head over and subscribe to the podcast, because we're going to continue this conversation. But after this, the rest of the guys will join me for some Touchdown City talk. We'll do that after this.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling with the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never? Like never ever?
Yep, never ever.
That's actually fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at Huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have three locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barbersville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Tommy Orr. And if you want to hear the rest of it, make sure you're subscribed to our podcast. I'll be releasing that later this week, the entire 40-45 minutes with Tommy Orr. It's that time of the week. Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week, the phone number. Text the first to text this in at 304-9696-TDC or 304-969-6832. Again, 304-969-6832. Win a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. The question this week, who was the running back that scored the go-ahead touchdown to give West Virginia a 17-14 victory over Penn State in 1984? Who was the running back to give the Mountaineers a 17-14 victory over Penn State in 1984. That's the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. Send in your text. You win a $25 gift card. All right, I'm going to hand it over to Michael Sussman for this week's sports headlines.
42-3, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish win it over Navy yesterday in Dublin, Ireland. They're 13th in the AP poll right now, Notre Dame is. What did that game tell you? They got their guy, their quarterback, Sam Hartman. Are the Irish back?
Oh, put them number one, please. Put them number one, because that's what we know everybody wants them to do. They're not back. They're never going to be back. They're the same old relevant Notre Dame team. I don't want to hear about them. They'll play Clemson, Ohio State, and there's one more team, USC. They'll probably lose all three of those games. They'll finish 9-3, and everybody will act like a great season. How about this? Win a major bowl game before we talk about you.
Yeah, I hate Notre Dame. Okay, next.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to watch the game, but listen, you know, as long as they still – they give them the preseason hype every year, and then they're not going to live up to it. Until they do, I'm sick of hearing about them.
Rich Rod and the Jacksonville State Gamecocks knock off UTEP in the first ever FBS game in program history. How about Rich Rod getting it done?
That's a good win, because it's hard to win those games. It's good for him. You know, congratulations to him. It'll be interesting to see how long he's there, how that program develops.
Where's he going, Derek?
He's coming home. I don't know where he's going. He could go. There might be somebody else to hire him. I'm not saying he's coming to West Virginia. He could go another place. Who knows? Somebody might take a chance on him. He's still an offensive coach. I mean, yeah, they ran the ball 42 times for 210 yards. That's what you want to see. I think their quarterback has some accuracy issues, though. But congratulations to him, because it's hard to get that first win, and they won their very first game at the FBS level.
Yeah, that was amazing. And I watched a little bit of the game, but I was just excited to see my old coach get it done. And again, like you said, I don't know how long he's going to be there, but I do like the fact that he's winning. And we have a new AD who I think can be influenced to bring back, you know, a winner.
First, I want to say congratulations to Xavier Bosley from South Charleston.
Originally from Dunbar. Yep, he's on that kid. Yeah, he's on that
South
team.
Charleston High School kid. I know his family. He's starting. I told his dad when he was being recruited, and he told me that they offered him. I said, send him. He's going to play for the best offensive line coach in the country.
Oh, for sure.
Rick Trickett.
Is he still with Rich?
Still
I
there.
Didn't know he was still there.
He came back.
50th season coaching college football, and he's one of the best in the country. I said, there's a good chance if he listens to Trick with his size, this kid could be coached into an NFL camp at the end of his career at Jacksonville State. 100%. So congratulations, Coach Rodriguez and Jacksonville State.
The Untold documentary came out on Netflix, I think, about 2 weeks ago, surrounding the national championship, Tim Tebow, Florida Gators. And there was a lot of motivational quotes with Urban Meyer, a lot of shots of lifting weights, not a whole lot about the arrests that took place. I think over 100 during that time. Was it too Urban Gator friendly?
I will be honest, I did not watch this because I was told that no one mentioned Hernandez or anything on this documentary. Listen, Urban Meyer had 124 players recruited to Florida. 41 of them were arrested and charged with a crime. One of them was Aaron Hernandez. That should have been mentioned. I don't care what anyone says. I don't want to watch a fluff piece on Urban Meyer, especially after what he just pulled in the NFL, went 2-11. Probably you could argue he's the worst NFL coach ever. Congratulations, Urban. You won three national championships when you had so much more talent than everyone. You couldn't screw it all up.
I didn't watch it. I mean, I don't spend my time
Fred,
watching
Fred Sanford Jr. with the heart attacks and all that stuff.
They didn't even mention that.
I watched it. I thought it was a big fluff piece. I mean, you know, Tim Tebow is arguably one of the greatest college players of all time, and nobody can deny that. And they went on a heck of a run down there with the national championships. But the thing about it is, if you're going to put out a four-part series about a football team in an era, it shouldn't be a 100% fluff piece. The producers should be ashamed of themselves. It was nonsense. I canceled my subscription to Netflix, by the way.
Why is it that when we talk about the Miami Hurricanes, they always talk about, well, they had guys out stealing radios and selling them to people to feed their children and stuff. Why do we mention that?
That's a whole nother podcast.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to do a documentary, do it. Don't do like just bits and pieces of it. Do the whole thing. Do it about the whole team. I agree.
Kickoff against Penn State on the horizon, set for Saturday. Neil Brown has not announced his starter yet. At this point, you'd assume he has one. Do you like him playing it close to the vest here?
He doesn't know who's going to be the quarterback. I mean, come on, guys. Like, If he knew who he wanted to choose, he would do it. I mean, it doesn't make a difference to Penn State who they're gonna.
Listen, I mean, here's the thing. This is just an interesting play on this. I know who the starter is, but I'm not going to tell you type of thing. You know, and I think Jim Harbaugh started all that crap about not listing starters or putting ors in there. Just tell us who the players are. That stuff doesn't matter. Right. I mean, they've seen both of these kids on film. What difference does it make? Name the starter. The good thing is they got it out of the way. At least they could pull the trigger and make a decision. Because my thing is, you know what they always say, if you got two, you don't have one. But my problem is, if you can't figure out one, you're probably not a good coach.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, I'm the same way that it doesn't matter who starts. There's game tape on both of them. Like, they both played in games last year. It's no secret what West Virginia is going to do. They're going to do what they've done the last 4 years. I mean, it's the way it is. There's no secret what Penn State's going to do. They're going to do what Franklin does. He's done it for 7 or 8 years there. I mean, it's what it is. Watch the tape.
Watch Penn State come out and throw the ball 70 times.
Well, they've done that, but he runs a spread offense, you know, pace, fast paced stuff. Their quarterback, this is the different part. He is not mobile. The past quarterbacks they've had have been able to run a little bit, While I like Singleton a lot, I think Singleton's a very good back. He's not Saquon Barkley. Barkley was a generational type player there, and they don't have that. But like, he likes to run the quarterback, and I'm not sure if Alar's mobile enough to do that.
Well, only one thing left to do: West Virginia, a 20-point underdog. As we head to the prediction portion of the show, what's going to happen?
Avon,
a whole lot of silence. I tell you what, guys. I mean. I everybody knows I'm a homer. I am a homer, and it is so hard for me to say that we don't have a chance in this game, and I won't, guys, because I do believe I'm like Pat Mack. You know, if there's a will, there's a way. We actually might be able to pull this off. You know, if we can get a couple nicks and knock a couple people out, we got a chance. I'm gonna say we're gonna win this game. And everything in me was like, there's no way we can do it. But you know what? Why not? You know, why not? Why not? Why can't he change the minds of everybody saying, oh, you know what? You guys didn't think I could. Am I trusting the climb here?
No. It's something else at this point.
I trust the decline. 38-24 Penn State.
He said decline. I'm trusting the climb. It's going to be 28-27. West Virginia.
Here's my thing, you know, and I'm just trying to be realistic about this. You're going to Happy Valley for a night game. It's not that I don't have faith in the players. I do. I don't have faith in the coaching staff. I just think it's a tough place to play. Historically, the history of this series says it's not going to happen. Now, that's what they said about West Virginia in 82 when they went down to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But we shall see. We'll see what happens, but I don't have faith in them this week. I think I have more faith in them moving forward. This is a tall task, guys.
I agree.
I think it's going to be Penn State 31, West Virginia 21 in a close one. I think it's going to be a running game. So
I think it'll be a competitive game. I really do. I think West Virginia will hang in there, but I just don't think they have the firepower or the defense. So that's what I'm looking at, 38-24.
17-14 West Virginia.
My man.
Both coaches not announcing a starter. I think Penn State's quarterback will come out and make a mistake or two, in that wideout is going to go silent and sketchy things are going to start happening. Let's go.
What I need to do is put my whiteboard up that's sitting behind Avon so we can keep track of all this. Whoever loses next week has to bring in sodas for everybody. So if West Virginia wins, Derek and I will bring your sodas in.
I don't drink soda, but thank you.
We'll bring you water. All right, thanks for checking out the Touchdown City Show this week. Make sure you follow us on social media. And for all information, go to touchdowncity.com. Thanks for listening.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.